are in lesson 10 of our study, and we're talking this morning about the proof of our love. Okay, so just kind of as a reminder of what we're doing and why we're doing all of this and so forth, we realize, you know, we're trying to make sure that we are gaining scriptural truths about our giving and about money completely, just totally, not just about giving, but about money and how we think about money and so forth. And again, part of this is the realization that giving is just as important to our salvation as things that we typically consider salvation issues like baptism and things of that nature. And so, you know, in other words, you know, it's one of those things we don't generally, as we've seen in our study, we don't generally like to talk about money, but we need to understand the importance of it to our salvation and what our attitude about it is. And we've talked about before the story of the rich young ruler and how, you know, his attitude toward giving was the one thing that Jesus said would keep him from heaven. He was doing everything else right religiously and so forth, according to Jesus' response to him. But Jesus still said, there's one thing you lack, and that was his attitude about giving. And so we need to make sure that we don't allow that one thing or anything, but, you know, we're focusing on this right now, to be the one thing that would keep us from salvation. And certainly money is something that shouldn't do that for us. So that's what we're doing. That's what this study is about, is making sure we have a biblical understanding and concept of money and giving and so forth. So let's talk about proving our love. How many of you, I know you guys, if you watch TV, you've seen different ads, you know, those as seen on TV things that they're trying to sell you and so forth. Saw an ad the other day. This was actually, we were down there over Thanksgiving. I saw this ad on TV. Don't know if you've seen it, because I haven't seen it around here, but it's for the Dash Cam Pro. Any of y'all seen that? Dash Cam Pro, it's your personal security camera for your car. Okay? $39.99. You plug this thing in, you mount it up through the suction thing up on your windshield, and you can video record everything that's going on as you're driving down the road. And of course, they advertise it for, you know, you can take it into court if you were involved in an accident or whatever, or they even have in the advertisement, you know, if, you know, you were to get stopped, you could just kind of swivel it a little bit and have it focusing on the officer that's talking to you, you know, and so on like that. But here's some of the things that this advertisement, the claims that this advertisement makes. It's full HD, 120-degree wide-angle video, records both audio and video, pivot mount, auto-adjustment from dark to light, instant view screen, motion detection, image stabilization, time and date stamp, picture mode, starts upon ignition, 14 hours of record time, endless loop recording, and it supports SD MMC cards up to 32 gigabytes, which it has in parentheses not included. Okay? And so it also advertised three easy steps. Okay? Step one is place on your windshield and snap the suction cup in. Step two, pull down the full HD 120-degree wide-angle video screen. Step three, with 14 hours of record time, you can now drive with confidence. I didn't know I was driving without confidence before. But, okay, you get this, so making lots of promises. All right, now, $39.99. And if you buy one, guess what happens? They'll send you a second one, all right? All you have to do is pay the extra shipping and handling for it, all right? The Dash Cam Pro. When ordering today, you will receive the Dash Cam Pro for just $39.95 plus $6.95 shipping and handling. But if you add a second or more Dash Cam Pro offers, your entire order will ship for free. Okay? They just really, you know, trying to entice you to buy this thing, right? Return policy, 30 days money-back guarantee, less your postage and handling. And standard delivery time in 4 to 6 weeks. Okay? Now, I won't ask you to show you how many of you have ever bought anything that you've seen on TV, any of those things. You know, you can find them at Walgreens and everywhere around. They've got a section, you know, where you can buy all these as seen on TV. There's some places in some of the malls that have a whole store dedicated to the stuff that you see on TV and you can buy. The question then becomes, how good are their claims? I don't know if you ever, before you buy any of those things, or really a lot of stuff anymore, it's a good idea to always go online and find reviews of the stuff that you are thinking about buying, especially if you're wanting to buy any of those things advertised on those, as seen on TV ads. Are y'all getting the hint that I'm giving you here? Okay. I'm not charging anything extra for that. I went online and checked out some reviews. Okay? And there are pages and pages of reviews. I did not find one positive review of this company at all. But here's just some of the things that the reviews that people wrote about their experience. I wish I would have read the reviews before I ordered this product. Okay? I ordered this product over a month ago and still have not received it. I called the very hard-to-find customer service number and had to leave a message. That was weeks ago. Today I received a phone call from someone in Hobbs, New Mexico, saying they wanted to send me $100 in gas and other stuff. I told the guy I just wanted the product, and he said I would get it real soon. This is a shady business. I just want my money back. Another customer said, I did everything as directed. The dash cam never recognized the card being in. I tried several times to get the cam to work. It does not work. It's a waste of money and time trying to get it to work. Another one said, when I charge the dash cam pro, the red light stays on and it will not turn off after hours of charging. When I use the car charger, it will come on to record and shut down and go back to the charge window. Another customer said, I ordered on October 12th. They took my money and never delivered. No numbers to call and the website doesn't work. I filed a claim with my bank. Hopefully I can get my money back. Don't buy one. Okay? And all of the reviews that I read on this product are just along this same line. Okay, so what does all that have to do with our lesson this morning? Well, it has to do with the idea of making claims, okay, and then not following through. We follow through with what we claim or what we say we're going to do. And more importantly, do we do it with the right attitude, that is, from the heart. Okay, some of the reviews that I read on these folks were basically saying these folks are criminals, and so forth. So they steal your money and never send your product, and they don't return your calls. They are a bad company, one person said. Okay, it's easy to beat up on a company like that, that obviously, at least according to the reviews, is not doing what they are claiming that they are doing. Okay? Well, this is a time of giving gifts and receiving gifts and so forth, time of Christmas coming up. Let me ask you to think about this. You have a long list of people, right, that probably, you feel like you need to get Christmas gifts for, right? Everybody have your list of folks? Okay. Now let me ask you this. Do you have anybody on that list that maybe you feel you really need to give them a gift, but you don't really want to? It's kind of like, I'm obligated because, maybe it's a family member or a family member of a family member, Okay, am I the only one that has people like that on my list? Okay. In other words, you're going to get them a gift, but your heart's just really not in that one. Now, there's other people on your list, your heart's really into it. You get all excited, you pick out the gift, that's special for that person, and you can't wait to see them open it, and you see the look on their face when they open that gift over, and the others, it's like, OK, okay, what's the least amount of money I can spend on this person and not feel like, you know, I'm a cheapskate or whatever, or they, you know, because I have to get, you know what I'm talking about, right? Don't deny it. You know what I'm talking about. Okay? So in other words, with those folks, you know, we're giving them a gift, but our heart's not really in it. The other people we're giving to them and our heart's really in it. Okay? You see, the idea here is, what I'm trying to get at is that it's easy, and aren't we really, when we're given that gift, we're trying to at least make them think that we are thinking about them and care about them or what have you. We're claiming something. It's easy to make claims about things, but the truth is shown by our actions. So we may claim something, but our actions is what really shows the truth. Whether we're trying to sell dash cams for our cars and claiming a lot of things that aren't really true, or whether we're talking about giving somebody something and we're not really in it from the heart. And of course, the same way with our giving to God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, John says, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. In verse 6 he says this, if we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Okay, did you catch that? If we claim to have fellowship with God, in other words, to be in relationship with God, that's what he means when he uses the word fellowship. He's talking about a relationship. If we claim to be in a relationship with God, yet our walk is in the darkness, he says we're liars. And the truth is not in us. Okay? So, my point here as we really begin this lesson is to understand that, you know, it's one thing to claim something, but if we're not following and living up to our claim, then we're liars. We don't have the truth in us, John said. And that has to do with all aspects of our living for God in relationship to Him. Not just us being baptized and not just us, you know, singing the proper way of music, in other words, without instruments and all those other issues that we deem as important. It has everything just as much to do with our giving as it does anything else. Okay? If we claim to be in relationship with God, but we're not doing what we should be doing in terms of our giving, and we're lying. Okay? We need to make sure that what we are claiming is what we are doing. Everybody with me so far? Okay. So John is telling us basically, if we don't live up to our claims, then we're liars. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you love God?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that's a pretty straightforward question, right? Do you love God? Yes. That's my claim. I claim to love God. Right? Jesus says in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Okay? So, if we're claiming to love God, how do we prove that we really love God? Doing what He says, right? Okay? So everybody with me so far, right? Now, what is it that God has told us to do? What commands has He given us regarding money and in specifically our giving. Okay? Look over, let's get everybody to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Beginning in verse 1. Now about the collections for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. What was that? On the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Now, Paul had the authority to speak for God.
Amen.
Okay? So, when Paul tells us to do what he told the Galatian churches to do, is that a command of God?
Yeah.
All right? And so what he said to do specifically was that on the first day of the week, that we are to set aside a sum of money, and we talked about this last time when I did study, in keeping with his income. In other words, what we have purposed in our heart, we're to give and so forth, right? So, is that a command of God? Okay. So, if we claim to love God, but we don't obey what he says here, we're lying.
We're lying.
If not, why not? If we do not give in keeping with our income, as he's told us to do here, then we are lying. Because we're not obeying him, and he's already said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And that's a command. Is this any less a command than any other command that Jesus gave?
No.
It's just as important as all the other commands that he's given us. So this one, though, seems to be one that we have a difficulty with sometimes obeying. Because it has to do with what? My money. We've been talking about throughout the study, it's not really our money anyway, is it?
No.
It belongs to God. And so we need to be giving it back to him. Okay? So you see, that's we need to be careful about the claims that we make. I love God. Therefore, I will do what God tells me to do. If I don't obey what God tells me to do, even though I claim to love him, the proof is in my actions that says I'm really a liar because I'm not doing what he tells me to do, so therefore I don't really love God. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Okay. You're familiar with the term, the proof is in the
pudding,
right? Well, we're not talking about pudding this morning. We're talking about giving. So I would suggest to you that the proof is in the giving. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And let's take a look here at what's going on. When these things are taking place and Paul is writing these words so forth, there is a famine that has been going on in Jerusalem. And so the brethren in the church in Jerusalem are struggling. Right? And there is an effort that has been put together to try to raise funds to help the brethren in the church in Jerusalem. And those that are affected by the famine and so forth. So, as we look in the first, let's look at the first part of this, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, And look at what Paul has to say about what's going on and what's being done in all of this. And keep in mind that he's writing to, and this is his second letter that he's written to the church in Corinth, right? Okay, now, he says, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on who? On their part, right? Who's he talking to? The Corinthian church. Okay? So what he's telling you, that we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning. So they have already started, and they made a commitment, a pledge, okay, to contribute to this need. All right? Verse 7. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Okay? So Paul's calling upon them to not do just enough to get by, but to do what? To excel. What does it mean to excel? Go overboard. Do as much as best that you can, right? Okay? All right? Let's continue reading. He says, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love. All right, did you catch that? I want to test your claims to love God. You say you're loving, you love God, how sincere are you, is what Paul is saying. I'm going to test that.
Amen.
All right? For you know, let's see here. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Look at what they did. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. So basically, it's kind of like Paul saying, look, you started this thing. Okay? You were the first ones to give. And you were the first to even have that. So apparently, remember I said earlier, you know, there was an effort that began to help the churches in Jerusalem with their situation. You know, who started that? Apparently they did. Apparently they're the ones who started it. He said, you were the first not only to give, but the first to have the desire to do so. So somebody in the Corinthian church apparently said, hey, I got an idea. You see? Our brethren over in Jerusalem are struggling with this famine. Why don't we get together some funds and send it to them so they can, you know, they can find some relief? I don't know if that's exactly the words that they used, but it's most likely something along that line. Someone there came up with the idea, didn't they?
Yeah.
They were the first not only to give, but the first to have the desire to do so. Okay? Now, what does he say next? Verse 11, now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Okay? Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. Okay? So, you understand the circumstance of the situation that's going on. The need in Jerusalem, the brethren here in Corinth said, hey, let's do something about it. Let's gather some funds. Let's help them out. That was a year ago. Apparently, after a year's time, they've kind of, they're not quite as enthusiastic, they're not quite following through, as they had indicated. So Paul's trying to do what here? As we would say, he's trying to light a fire under them, right? Okay, get them moving again, all right? Now, let's look at the next section here. Beginning in verse 16. All right? I thank God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. So Titus is kind of like, it's almost like Titus said, hey, Paul, let me go over there and I'll stir him up and we'll get this done. Okay? And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. So Paul's just kind of laying out here, what they've arranged and the arrangement the churches have made in order to collect these funds and get them to the people that need them and distribute them and so forth. Continue reading on. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. Look at the last couple of verses here. In addition, we are sending with them our brother who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. Who's he talking to? Brethren in Corinth, right? All right. Now, as for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Therefore, verse 24, show these men the what? Show them the what? The proof of your love. How do you do that? What did you say here? Proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. What is the proof of their love that he says he wants them to show? The completion of this act, this giving, right? That's what the whole thing is all about. They started it a year ago, okay, and they haven't followed through the way that they needed to. And he's saying, look, you made a claim, and you need to follow through with it. And you need to show the proof of your love. You claim to love God, prove it, is what he's saying. We have a saying today that people use all the time when someone is making a claim about certain things, and we oftentimes, maybe you said this to someone, or maybe you've had somebody say this to you. Put your money where your mouth is. And that's basically what Paul is saying here. Okay? That's what he's saying here. Put your money where your mouth is. You made this claim, now prove it. Amen. But understand, it's not just a matter of proving that you are going to do this. It's more than that. It is proving, as he says here, your love. See? It's one thing to follow through with a promise. But it's quite another to understand that following through is the proof, okay, of how we feel about that giving and so forth. You follow me on that? And in this particular case, and as we're talking about our giving, it is the proof of our love. It's proof that we really do love God. If God tells us to do this, to give, okay, and we threw out this study. This is lesson 10, and we've been studying 9 other lessons before this, made it beyond any doubt whatsoever that God wants us to give, right?
Man.
Okay? And so he's told us to give, and so it's really all about is whether we love him or whether we don't. And it's proving that love, not just claiming it. Okay? It's not just a matter of claiming to have fellowship with him, claiming to love him, but it's a matter of following through and doing it. That the follow through, the actual doing of what God tells us to do, is what proves that we actually love him. If you love me, you will do what I command. What's the implication there? Do I? If you don't do what I command, then you don't love me. That simple. Okay? Now, any thoughts or comments on that aspect of it? Matt? I think certainly, I think people that, and I've heard people pray that way, and, you know, those of you who have, my take on it, at least from the one side of it, is being concerned about people that don't have as much in their lives. They're struggling financially to get by or what have you. The other side of the coin, though, is exactly what you're saying. Do I recognize that I am blessed, I am prospered? And you know, I always go back to the widow's mite. Okay, the story of the widow who gave, how much did she give? All she had to live on. Okay, so from that perspective, all of us have something to give.
Well, I don't think
okay.
It doesn't necessarily have to be monetary, does it?
It doesn't have to be.
Well, I think that's the
but
for right. At that time, we're giving our money. And there's a lot of financial trouble in this country. A lot of people dug themselves into a hole in which they need to get out of. And what the priority is on that, I don't think, but you need to make your house safe financially if you want us to be a close
right.
And at that time, if you don't have money, you know what? Those people need prayer.
Yes, yes. So
I think there's
both sides of that to consider. Okay, and it's not a matter of saying, and I don't think that it's wrong to, you know, for folks to be praying and saying, you know, for those who don't have anything. But I think that we do need to consider that whole aspect of it. It says, look, we, you know, when we're thinking about we give as we have been prospered, okay, I kind of turn that thing around the other way and say, okay, if I'm just giving, let's say we've talked in this study, we've made it very clear, you know, the whole tithing, 10%, you know, and so forth. If I, you know, the collection plate comes along and I pull out a $5 bill and drop it in the basket, and I feel like that I have given, all right, think about it this way. What is $5, 10% of?
$50,
right? So am I saying that that's all the income that I've had? That's all that God has prospered me this past week is $50. See? Or am I saying that that's, okay, God, that's all he's given me, and so if that's all he's given me, then $5 is appropriate, right? But is that really what's going on so often? You see, are we really looking at it that way and understanding? Am I saying to God, in other words, turn it this way and say, am I saying to God, okay, God, yeah, you've only prospered me $50 this week. And I recognize that. Or are we instead kind of looking at it going, this bill to pay, I got that bill to pay, I got this, all I got that's not spoken for is this $5. So I better put that in because I'm supposed to put something in. See what I'm saying? Just some different ways to be thinking about that in terms of, again, if I'm saying, you know, yeah, God's only blessed me with $50 this week, so I'm, or, you know, I have to put that old proverbial dollar in there, you know, and be content with that. And is that a reflection, really a true reflection on what God has prospered me this week? I mean, you go out to lunch during work, you spend more than $5 on your lunch, don't you?
Yeah.
Every day. So if you work 5 days a week and you go out and spend at least $5 on your lunch every day, you're spending $25 just to eat lunch. You're only giving $5 back to God. Wait a minute. You're spending half of that $50 that you got just to feed yourself lunch every day. Okay? Right?
That's why I think I say it in this class. I use myself as an example. I give mine off the top. I don't want to give the Lord my leftovers. He deserves better than that. That's why I try to make sure with all the bills I got, what I'm going to give him is up here, not here at the bottom. I think people need to focus on that. And it's not necessarily what you give, but how you give. And I think it's important that we don't cut ourselves short. Because if you cut the Lord short, what are you doing? You cut yourself short.
Exactly.
And I don't want to do that.
Yes.
Okay. Do I waste a lot of money on cigarettes, 5 hours, Starbucks coffee, absolutely. But that gets me through my day. I have been homeless. I don't have a partner. They have my bills. If I gave 10%, and I'll have to age to this one day, but if I gave 10% of my income, I'm either going to be homeless again, or my legs are going to be good for that. Just to throw that out there.
At least I understand what you're saying.
And I know I'm supposed to have faith that he will provide.
Right.
But I've been on the streets.
Right.
You know, and I guess I'm not at that point where I have that faith.
And that's the key, okay? And I'm not saying that to condemn or bring down, but as a challenge to say that's the focus that you need to have, is to have that kind of faith, say, okay, God, I trust you enough. I trust in your promises that you say, if I will give to you the way you tell me, that you're going to take care of me. That's the hurdle, okay? And that's the challenge, you see, that we have to look at and go, okay, do I have that kind of faith or not? Okay. So that's how I would just challenge you. Okay? So that's what it's about. It's about okay. For all of us. Whatever that we are given, we need to understand that love is an action word. Okay? And so here's we're out of time. So let me give you this question to think about. Okay? Take it with you, mull it over in your brain and so forth, and see how you what you conclude with this. Here's the statement. I can give without love. But I can't love God and others without giving liberally. All right? Just Think about that statement. I can give to other people without loving. But I cannot love God and others without giving liberally. Right? Take that with you. Think about it. And Jerry, you've got class next week, right? All right. Thank you all very much.